if you weren't at my daughter's wedding, the microphone didn't work, and my dream of preaching in the big chapel there at Southeastern just was crushed when I found out. If nobody ever told me, they would have said, oh, it sounded great, so you do whatever Sunday morning. So anyway, nonetheless, thank you for that. So how important is it to have preaching in the Word of God? How is it important for us to hear the Word of God being proclaimed in this kind of setting as we come together? We come together, we fellowship together, we share to that together in the joys of life. We have a joy with, where's Whitney at? Whitney, is she there? We got a joy with Whitney because Whitney is expecting now too. Isn't that great? So anyway, somebody said, I think Steve was telling me, I think it was, Whitney and Sarah grew up together. Now their little kids are going to grow up together as well as those sweet. Bless your heart. Congratulations. You too, Jeremy. Congratulations to you as well. That's going to be exciting. We look forward to hearing more great news about that. So the fellowship is great. You know, and a lot of times we say, you know, let's come together. We can have a song service. You know, that's part of the Word. And because we're singing the Word. And some people say, you know, drama is big now. And let's just have drama. Let's just act out a skit instead of having a sermon today. Or maybe show a video in place of the preaching of the Word of God. Well, why do we need to hear and heed the Word, especially when it comes to the child's relationship to the church? Why do we need to come together and do these kind of things? Why is it necessary today? Well, it's necessary because it's biblical, and that's what our text this morning is going to help us to answer. The question is, why is it so important to hear and heed the preaching of the Word when there's so many alternatives out there today? My goodness, we don't even need to come together and sit in this congregation together. You could have watched a lot of great preachers on TV this morning. Some of them better than I am. Some of them, they say they're preachers, but I don't know that they're preachers, to be honest with you, as we'll see as the sermon continues here and the text continues here today. But how important is it for you to hear and to heed the preaching of the Word of God? See, one thing you can't do is change channels on me. If you're at home, you don't like it, you can just change your channel. I thought, you know, what we need to do is get a cell phone blocker that scrambles the signal around the church during church. So that I understand there might be some texting going on during church. I know that would never happen here, but never would happen. But we need to listen to what God has to say to us through His Word. And I got an application point there at the end that's going to help us to see that. Well, why is that necessary? Why is it important for us to hear the preaching, to hear and heed the preaching of God's Word? Well, number one is because it's the primary message of God. It's the message of God. It's not that I'm coming up here and I have a desire to say something that's bothering me and I just want to let you know what thus saith Pastor Myron. But I hope that you find that as you come here today, and every Sunday morning, and every time we come together, if it be a Sunday school class, if it be a ladies' Bible study, a men's Bible study, or whatever it happens to be, that what you get is not just simply the teacher's agenda, but that you get the primary message of God. And that message needs to be communicated. It says in our text in verse 18, for the message or the preaching, King James says, for the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But the New King James says, but the message of the cross, and the word there is logos, and it just simply means the words, the story, the proclaiming, the dialogue, the explanation of the cross to those that are perishing, it's just foolishness. It doesn't make sense to them. The word foolishness is kind of interesting. It's a moronus, so we get the word moron from it. Moronus is what it is, moronus. And I told you the story a long time ago, and for the benefit of those sitting here, I'll tell you very quickly, when we got our very first computer here at the church, and it was an IBM 486 computer, it was a screamer, I tell you. So 486, if you name my computers, which I don't. Apparently that's in today's standard, you know. Anyway, my first exposure to spell checker, and it didn't recognize my name, Myron, and it offered an alternative. It offered moron. So anyway, and I thought, well, the preaching of the cross is moronic. Here we have it right here to those that are perishing, but to us that are being saved, it's the power of God. It's a message that needs to be proclaimed. But why is that? Because, one, it's the message of the cross. But for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing? What does the cross have to do with anything? Why does it matter to us what happened thousands of years ago? It doesn't make sense. But we already alluded to it in our prayer this morning when we talked about God showing His love for us so much that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And He gave us life to be a ransom, the perfect price, the perfect to pay the penalty for our sins. And it all happened on a cross. To some people today, the cross is just a fashion accessory. I heard a story of someone going to a jewelry store and they wanted to look at crosses, and they told the clerk that they wanted the cross that had the little man on it. They had no significance about what the cross truly meant. That's why this morning we sing, "Down at the Cross." That's why we sing, "I am so wonderfully saved from sin." What a wonderful thing happened when Jesus died on the cross for our sins. It's the message of the cross because that's God's message. And God is the message and the subject of our preaching. The second thing is also the message of salvation. It's the message of salvation. We see that in the latter part of verse 18. It says, "But to those who us who are being saved, it is the power of God." It's the power of God. It's the message of God's salvation is found in the preaching of the Word of God. It's His story. It's His message. And as we come together in this place, that's what you need to hear. You need to hear what God wants to say to you about your life and about your salvation. You know, someone has said there's three aspects to our salvation. The fact that we have been saved, where we've been justified of our sins. We are being saved, and it says here, for those of us being saved, it refers to our sanctification, where God is working and transforming our mind and transforming our hearts to be like His. And we will be saved refers to that glorification that occurs in the future. Bonnie Markham experienced that glorification last night when she met her Savior, and what a wonderful place to be. All the problems with Alzheimer's is behind her now, and now she can truly live life in its fullest there in the presence of God this morning. Talk about your worship service. She's having it this morning. And I guarantee you one thing, her hearing aid's not going off either in the middle of the service. So she don't need that anymore. Either. I remember my first exposure to an elderly person in a hearing aid. Of course, I found out you don't have to be elderly to have a hearing aid. But and I kept thinking, something is wrong with our sound system. Something is wrong with our sound system. And they told me, it's just Bonnie. Bonnie's here. So it works out that way. But she's experienced the fullness of her salvation. It's the message of salvation. And even over in Philippians, Paul writes to them to work out their salvation in fear and trembling. And it's not that they've got to work to earn their salvation, but as we live the Christian life, what we learn, we learn what it means to be a child of God. And God points things out in our life that we need to address. I like to use the illustration of the snow, and we almost saw some of that this past week. When you think things are pure, when you think things are good in your life, and you think you've got your life on track. And I make a reference to the old white Suburban we used to have. And it used to appear to be white until it snowed, and then it looked awful dingy. When you put the purity of the snow next to something like vinyl siding on a house, all of a sudden the white vinyl that would almost blind you in the absence of the snow becomes very dull and dingy. God brings us to us, brings it to our mind, helps us to be like Him in our walk, and we need to embrace that. That's the message of God. So it's not that you just need to hear the Word to get saved and then go on out and live your life without the church and without God's Word. No, you need it in your life. On a daily, regular basis, and especially when we have the opportunity to come together and feast together together in this meal. Feast together on His Word together, we need to do so. It's the message of salvation. And it's also the message of truth. I found that the world is really looking for truth in a lot of ways. I'll deny that truth even exists. But it says there in verse 19, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." I put on my little note here beside that text for prudent, those who think they've got it all figured out. How many people know like people like that? You think they've got it all figured out. They know how life works. And they can figure it all out without God. Well, last night, Tanya's not here now, I can talk about her. So last night, we had the opportunity to go out to eat with the higher-ups from her company. They fly in for this conference they're having actually today, and they're all scientists and professors from all over the country as they come together. And I told somebody I felt like I was sitting at the table with the guys from Big Bang Theory or something. There are all these guys sitting around, and the putting all their faith and trust. One of the guys in the room actually has something to do with the invention of plasma TVs. So that's pretty cool. I started to ask, what's up next? You know, how's it going to get better? But yet, there's the scientific world in some ways, and certainly not all scientists are like this, but a lot of times, and unless they can really rationalize it and figure it out and reason it out, they have a hard time accepting that. But yet, God's message is a message of truth. And even in their day, this is kind of interesting here, it says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. And the word destroy is actually where the name Apollo comes from. And, of course, that's a Greek god in their day that was very powerful and very revered in their own culture. The god, we could say the god of wisdom, the god of sun, the god of music, a lot of things was attributed to him. In other words, when you see it all together, it says, you know, all these things that you think you have figured out. I was making a U-turn. I was past Clifton Thomason's house, and I wanted to turn back around. I saw Virginia out at the mailbox. I stopped by and talked to her last week, and I turned around at that newer Hindu temple that's back over there. And have you ever pulled up in there and saw that thing? You think you're right in the middle of India. I mean, it's really amazing. My intention was to go back and get a picture of it, put it up on the screen, but didn't get a chance to do that. But you see, they've got their system figured out. And over here, they got their system figured out. All these other cults that are in the world today, they have their system figured out. But yet he said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Thank you very much. Y'all thirsty? Did you bring enough for everybody? Oh, thank you so much. But it's the message of truth. God's message is the message of truth. As a matter of fact, the psalmist said in 119, verse 160, the entirety of your word is truth, and every word of your righteous judgments endure forever. Isn't that precious to know the entirety of your word is truth? Somebody said, well, that's just the Old Testament. What does the New Testament say about it? Jesus himself prayed this in that Lord's Prayer of John chapter 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Those are the words of Christ. How important are the words of God? And we do believe this is the Word of God. And therefore, we need to hear God's message. We need to be willing to hear what God says to us. Nothing frustrates me more when I go to a Southern Baptist convention and some of the pastor's conference associated to it, and some of the pastors will get up and leave when some of the best speakers in the country are about to get up and speak. And they say, I don't like being preached to. I like to do the preaching, you know. I think, oh my goodness, you've got it wrong. You need to feed on the Word of God and be fed the Word of God yourself. And nothing's more refreshing to me than to enjoy that in that setting and receive the nourishment that comes from the Word of God. The message of truth. Application to the church. This is a long phrase. You won't write this down right quick. No, don't do it. This is actually... Whitney's quote in the discipleship discipline book. He says, the kind of church you want to be a part of is one where when the Bible is read at the beginning of the sermon, you can be confident that what follows will be built upon it. God made our hearts, and only He knows what we need most. He made our hearts for the Word of God. Nothing nourishes us like His message. And whether or not you yet recognize it, nothing else in worship can satisfy as what God says to us. You know, I we're going to have a message on worship here coming up, and it might actually be next week, I'm not sure. We're going to have a message on worship. But, you know, there's a kind of a debate. People call the song leader in the church the worship leader. Now, I do that as well, the song leader, kind of our worship leader, because I like the music aspect of it, obviously, and you are aware of that. But genuinely, the pastor is, and truly the pastor is the worship leader. And what we're doing right now is the greatest form of worship, because we're listening to his word. We're learning from His Word. We're hearing and heeding His Word together. So it may not seem like it, but indeed you are worshiping Him. You're showing Him that He is worthy for you to sit here and to hear the Word of God and let the Spirit of God move in your life today. You know, and I hope that's what you find when you come to this church. I've been to places and even sometimes conferences where pastors just have something they don't want to say, and they'll find one verse to be their launch pad, and they never come back to it again. Have you seen that before? You've probably witnessed it. But you know, you're not here to hear my opinion. You're here to hear from the Word of God, and that's what I try to share with you. That's what Brian shared with you when he has the pulpit. That's what Ricky shares with you when he has the pulpit. You need to hear what God has to say. Matter of fact, it says the church is the pillar and the ground of truth of God. The pillar and the ground of the truth of God. And that's the church. And we actually see the scripture reference to that in 1 Timothy chapter 3. For if I'm delayed, he's writing to them, I write so that you ought to know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. This is where you should find the truth. You should hear it here. You should hear it as your children come to Awana. What they hear should be the truth of the Word of God. So that's how important, teachers. Even counsel time. I have counsel time tonight. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to say to the Sparks tonight. But how I can share with them God's truth. But what you're sharing to them is very important. You're just not trying to entertain them, although it seems like you have to get them to pay attention. But yet, you have the opportunity to share with them the truth of God. Why is it important to hear and heed the Word of God? Because it's the primary message of God. Secondly, because it's the preferred method of God. It's the preferred method of God. It says in our text that God was pleased to ordain preaching. He established it. And I always like to look back at that text back in, what is it, Nehemiah, where they came back and they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. Ezra had already come back and they'd rebuilt the temple. And so they come back and build the walls and they come across the Word of God and they get out the scrolls and they build a platform and a little pulpit made to hold the Word of God, which we even have right here. And they opened the Word of God and they read the Word of God and they discussed the Word of God. Then they broke off into small groups and talked about it, and it took all day. You think an hour and 15 minutes is a long time? It took them all day to do that. And they heard the Word of God, and it moved within the heart because they hadn't heard it in so long. Verse 20 in our text here says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached. To save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. It's the preferred method of God. You see, there's a need for preaching. There's a need for preaching. Even in the Scriptures itself tells us the day's going to come where people are going to have itching ears. They're going to go around and try to find someone that's preaching what they want to hear. And folks, I tell you, and you look at churches that are out there today, and I'm certainly not trying to church bash or be negative against other churches that are out there, but you can find a church that pretty much accept whatever belief you want to believe and worship whatever you want to worship and how you want to worship, and things really don't matter. You can find it all out there in the world, and then they advertise it that way as being sometimes it's open-minded, they say. But yet we need to focus on the gospel and what Jesus says about our life and what Jesus said about our sin. And unless the Word of God is preached, they're not going to truly preached, then they're not going to hear what they need to hear for God to do a work through the Holy Spirit in their life to change their lives. So we need to hear it. Whether we like it or not, we need to hear it. There's a great need for preaching, and that's for sure. The meaning of preaching, there's a few Greek words there. One word means to herald, to stand before a crowd such as this and to announce it or to stand on the streets. And that's what verse 21, where it says the message preached, it refers to the herald of the Word of God. You know, we want to preach the Word of God and let people hear it. We can do it in that fashion. Logos means preaching, and we found that in our first verse, verse 18, the preaching of the cross, the logos of the cross. It's almost a dialogue. Or communication or whatnot. We have another word that means simply, we see evangelism, angelizo. We can see the roots of that word as well in things like evangelism and stuff. to proclaim glad tidings, to let people hear, to instruct people concerning the things that pertain to Christian salvation. And that's what we're here for. We need to be preached to. And preaching can take different forms. It can be just handing out a tract, because that's communicating a message. But yet we need it from here, straight from the Word of God, to expound upon it and explain it. All right, the meaning of preaching. God ordained preaching. God ordained preaching. It says in verse 21b, He said, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. All right, so God's the one that established it. God's the one that ordained it. God's the one that told us that this is what we need to do. It's a God who told Paul to write, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Let them hear it when they want to hear it and when they don't want to hear it, you know. Preach the word, as the choir sang a little while ago. Matter of fact, even in Romans it says, how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody needs to proclaim the Word of God. It's great that we have the Word of God in it, and it can sit on our bookshelves, it can sit on our coffee tables and collect dust. But until we open the Word of God and hear the Word of God and heed the Word of God, that's when it starts doing its transformational work in our lives. We have got a whole case of Southern Living cookbooks in our house. I mean, just about every one of them that's ever been printed, except for 2010. I got to get that one. So it is in there underneath our TV in our den, and some of you have seen them before. And that's a lot of the reasons why I have this. So thanks, Tanya. I love you. Anyway. But you know what? Having those books in my house has not made me a better cook. Not one bit. It's done wonders for Tanya. She's come a long way. She's a great cook. Because she opens the book, she hears from the book, she does what the books tell her to do. Oh, how much true is, how more true can it be for the Word of God, to hear the Word of God and to heed the Word of God and to let it work in our very soul. You know, it even says in Hebrews that it's, you know, the discerner of thoughts and can divide the joints and the marrow. All these things is living, it's quick, it's powerful. We need the Word of God. Okay, so don't come for the music and then leave and find something else to do or check yourself out mentally and not listen to what's taking place as the word's being proclaimed, because it's God's message to you. And remember last week I told you had to pray for the preacher. Y'all praying for these messages, so you get what you pray for. I guess, hey, that's good. It's like a bumper sticker. Hey, there's an idea. Okay, get what you pray for. Application for the church. God has placed gifted people in the church to teach you. You know, I'm thankful that you allow me the privilege to pastor this church and to stand here in this pulpit Sunday morning after Sunday morning and after Sunday morning. God has placed great people in the church that can take my place when I'm not here, or I just feel led to let them preach. God has gifted people here for that. We have got an all-star role, Roland, when it comes to Sunday school teachers. I say that because he's a teacher, but he's also a Sunday school director. But we've got some, I think some of the greatest Sunday school teachers for the adults and for the young people here in the church. It's amazing what God has put together. And we can enjoy this preferred method of God, this preaching and teaching of hearing and heeding the word in this environment, but also during the Sunday school hour as well. And if you're not involved with that, you need to be. That talk of fellowship last week, that's so important. If you want to have genuine fellowship with other believers and get to know people in the church, the place to do that, one of the great places to do that is in the Sunday school classes. And I encourage you to find a class for you. I guarantee you we've got one for you. Okay? God has placed gifted people in the church to teach you. And I hope that you'll listen to hear what they have to say. It's so important to hear and heed the preaching of the Word, because it's the preferred method of God. And finally, because it's the powerful mission of God. It's the powerful mission of God. God saves people through His message preached. And it says in verse 23 there, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block. That word is scandalon. We get scandal from that. To the Jews, it's a scandalous thing for us to talk about Christ. They'll say, deny Christ. And a scandalon is literally, have you ever had a rabbit trap before? Maybe Luke has had a rabbit trap. You have that stick that stands up and you pull the stick out and makes the trap fall. You got it? Yeah, he's got it. So, I had no doubt in my mind that Luke didn't understand that one. But that stick is actually what we call a scandalon is what it's called. It's something that sets the trap, all right, to catch the prey that you're after there. But to the Jews, it's a trap, all right? That they have a problem. They can't get past it. It ensnares them, so they can't get to the truth of God. Because they don't understand Christ. They've not accepted Christ. They've not denied Christ. And to the Greeks, it's foolishness, all right? It's moronic to the Greeks that are there. But to those of us who are called, Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Well, what is the powerful mission of God? How does it work through preaching? Well, it breaks barriers. It breaks down barriers. All right? It removes the stumbling blocks. It takes it out of the way and enables us to have full access to God. I was listening to Caleb the other day, and somebody called in and asked, what is all this about the veil? I don't understand the veil of the temple and how its purpose. What did it do? And they talked about the fact that in a literal sense, it separated man from the holiness of God. And when Jesus died on the cross, that veil was torn from the top down and it opened up the access, broke the barrier between God and man, and allowed us to have a personal relationship with Him. It breaks down barriers. No matter who you are, Christ loves you. He died for you, and you can receive that glorious salvation that He wants to give you. It breaks down barriers. Matter of fact, it also builds believers. It builds believers. It helps us to grow in Christ. Verse 24 says, those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, the power of Christ, the power of God and wisdom, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. All right, it builds believers. We experience together the power of God. How wonderful that is that we get to experience that together. And in the fellowship, we talked about that last time, to see God working, to see that miraculous thing that God did, I think it was on Monday, when Ken had his surgery and his life was saved. To see even the wonderful thing that happened last night just down the street as someone is set free from Alzheimer's that's plagued her body and take her into a glorious heaven. It builds up believers. It gives us hope. And I love that last verse. It says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. So no matter how wise we may think we are, God's foolishness is even greater. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. So no matter how strong you think you may be, the weakness of God is stronger than that. It builds up believers. Why is that? Because our faith and trust is in Him. It is not in ourselves. It's in Him. We're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves, not by our works, lest any man could boast. Our faith is in Him. And when everything else seems to crumble around us, we know we have that rock of Jesus Christ in our lives. Application to, those Romans, do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It's building up of believers as we come together. Application for the church here, the God's greatest commandment, is to love Him with all your mind. God's greatest commandment tells us to love Him with all of your mind. All right, commandment and mind. Matthew says this, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. All right, learning in the church also protects you from errors. I think those are your last box on your page, I think. Learning in the church helps protect you from errors. All right, we need to know the Word of God so that our mind can be instructed properly. You know, our senses can be enticed by so many things that are around us. But yet, if we're learning it from the Word of God, it helps protect us from errors. Why is it so important to hear and heed the preaching of His Word? Because it's the powerful mission of God. Here's some applications. Listen to these. These are Donald Whitney's ideas here. I want to share them with you. Reverently and responsively listening to God's Word preached is one of the highest forms of honoring and worshiping God. So that means if you're sitting around and you're fidgeting and you're texting and you're doing everything but listening to the preaching of the Word of God, you're not honoring Him because His Word is being proclaimed. Right? Listening to God's Word preached is one of the highest forms of honoring and worshiping God. And then we need to know it as adults, and we need to be teaching our kids this as well. Here's another thought. One measurement of your spiritual health is your hunger for God's Word preached. Do you feel like something's missing, not only when you just miss church because of the fellowship, but because you've not heard a message from God? And you haven't heard a message from God in the presence of other believers as well. I think this is a true statement. One measurement of your spiritual health is a hunger for God's Word preached. You need to hear His Word. You know, sometimes you don't realize how hungry you are until you start eating, do you? So all of a sudden everything is great. And you think, man, I wish I would have done this long ago. All right? We admit that you need to learn in the church and that you can learn in the church. Instead of thinking you got it all figured out, you got your spirituality all on top notch here, top gun, we admit that you have things you still need to learn. And you can learn that in the church environment, and that you'll learn here together. Will you participate in the most important way of learning in the church by listening to the preaching of God's Word? Will you make a commitment as we go into this new year, I'm going to hear as many sermons as I can in person. There's an evangelism conference coming up. I think it's in March down in the Indian Trail area outside of Charlotte, and we're hoping to get a group together. If you want to make a commitment, try to take a day or two off work and go down there and listen to some of those greatest preachers in the country come together, and we can sit together and listen to and be fed together. That's always a great thing to happen. I encourage you to do that. But even here, that we come listen to the Word of God being preached. We learn in the church by participating in a study group, such as a Sunday school class. Have you been to Sunday school yet? You need to be there. A lot of people weren't there today. Our numbers are down on Sunday school for sure. But it's such a shame, because there's so much to be learned and so much to be gained through a Sunday school class. And will you begin now?